Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, we're so blessed that you are joining us, for today is part two of a great two-part interview with author Thomas Nastic. Now, if you missed the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up. I mean, I just can't explain that and emphasize it enough, because Thomas is the author of not just a book, but a trilogy of books, all fictional, but centered around the Christian Catholic themes and faith, and it's called Penury City. That's the name of the trilogy. And this series of books is not just for the day and time in which we live. No, it is about the day and time in which we live. And they're exciting, they're riveting. This conversation just has me on the edge of my seat, and this series of books will do the same for you. Now, if you missed the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up, because I just don't have time to cover all the things that we were talking about. But we're going to jump back now right into this interview. We're going to start by talking about book number one. And here is Thomas Nastic.
But he's facing battles, you know, with his conscience as well as all the social concerns as well.
Right.
And the path that he has to follow is really the basis for the stories. And he, I mean, you have a series of, well, I'll let you take it over from there for book one.
Okay, sure. So book one is The Light of Gabriel. And if you look at the cover of the book, it's this large granite rock. And the rock has a crack in it. And the rock is meant to be the church. So our church, that foundation of the church, has this crack in it. And there's also a sword that's laid across the rock, which is, you know, Peter's sword, the sword that is supposed to defend the church. And the sword's broken, and what breaks it is the shekel. The shekel is the Jewish coin, the silver coin, and the coin's meant to represent the 30 coins that Judas used to betray Jesus. So the shekel, representing evil, breaks the sword of Peter and cracks the foundation of the church. Mm. And what comes out of that crack is the light of Gabriel. We're looking for heaven to help us, to put the church back together. So that's kind of the whole premise of that first book is, okay, the foundation of the church has been broken. And Saul, he's the atheistic doctor who has no belief system as far as God is concerned. He thinks it's all just God's a myth. God's a myth that people made up, and he'll have no part of that because he's a man of science. He's a learned man of science, and he knows better that these things just aren't possible. And so he lives with a woman, and they're trying to have children. But this book takes place in the future. So it takes place in the year 2054. So as we talked about before, that when you continuously take God out of the world, well, what happens when he's gone? So the future is in this 2054 is God's completely out of the secular society. And when that happens, it's you need permission from the government to even have children. And if you don't meet the right criteria, your DNA matches, you know, well, and you don't have any health issues. You have a certain amount of intelligence there. You have to meet these criteria of the secular government in order to even be approved to have children. Mm. And so they're not approved. And his wife is so broken up about this, she starts to pursue other things. And there's always this myth kind of around in Penury City in that first volume, where there's this myth that there's this city somewhere that's a city of faith and freedom. And you have freedom to make these choices and live your life the way you think you are supposed to live it. And so she leaves Saul and she pursues this myth. And really, and so she's the only anchor that he has left that kind of anchors him to some kind of moral foundation. And when she left, he was just crushed because he had nothing. He realized he has nothing. And so he pursues her to go chase after her. And so upon doing that, he ends up meeting a Catholic nun on the journey. And as she starts to teach him about faith, he starts to lower his defenses on his beliefs and starts to start hearing what she's telling him about scripture and about God and how that all works. So that's his journey through the first volume, is just him being on this journey and trying to figure things out.
And the path he has to follow is interesting, because you have a series of connected underground tunnels, like an entire transportation highway, right? Tell us a little bit about this dangerous path and how he has to find his way.
Sure. So before all of this happens with Saul, probably about 20, 30 years before that happened, there were the last fighting Christian army. They were called the Zealots, the Carol Zealots, after Carol was the only signer of the Constitution who was a Christian, Catholic Christian. And so they're called the Carol Zealots. And they're the ones who built this whole underground system of tunnels and pathways, because they had the premonition that society was going to get so bad that a lot of the Christians were going to be persecuted. So this last remnant was able to kind of build these systems and these tunnels to lead to Penary City.
Okay. All right. And so let's move on now to book two. You explained a little bit what the shekel represents, but how does that relate to the story?
So book two is Ire of the Shekel. And so as the last remnant of the Christian faith is traversing through these tunnels, and at the same time, they're kind of learning to trust in God, to trust in the people who came before them, who made the tunnels, who made the systems, and just trust in that way. And they left with nothing. They had to leave all of their homes, their jobs, whatever they had, left it all behind to escape that world. And so they left with nothing. So they don't even really have, you know, water to survive or food. All that is provided to them on the way, and they don't really know how it gets there, but just it just sort of appears to them, and they're able to, you know, continue to have, you know, sustenance along their journey. And so as they start to have more faith and start to trust in God, Ire of the Shekel is really the catechization of Saul. So he gets more training, more deeper theology. He gets introduced to God and Jesus Christ and how the apostles, you know, worked, and all of the things that we know that are in scripture, he starts to learn through this Catholic nun who's teaching him the way. And so, but as always, it always comes down to a choice. And so how the second book ends is that Saul is at kind of the edge of this cliff where he's trying to decide, okay, is this all true, or is this just some elaborate made-up scheme just to give humanity this kind of false hope that it isn't all bleak and there is something, you know, on the other side. So he's contemplating all that he knows, and he's at odds with himself. He has to get off the fence. You know, there can be no more lukewarmness. It's either he's for Jesus or he's against Jesus. He can no longer just sit there and say, well, I'm teetering. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. He has to make a choice. He's actually forced into making a choice. So that's where the second volume sort of ends.
In some of my, when I'm preaching and stuff, I'll talk about, you know, when you're presenting the offer of salvation to someone and like, I'll think about it or whatever, like that. You know, I keep telling them, no decision is a decision. You know, right. I mean, you can't escape it. You know, well, I haven't made up my mind. Well, that's a decision, you know, and it's not the right one. but in book two, they've reached the city, but it's not what they think it is, right?
Right. So So there's three levels of penury city. First, penury means extreme poverty. And it's the extreme poverty. So the first volume is the extreme poverty of living without God. When you live without God, you're in extreme poverty. And you might think that you have everything under control. Well, I have my career, I have money, I have house, I have family, I have friends, I have all that I need. But really, all that can be taken away at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. And so you really are living in extreme poverty. And that second volume is that there is light on the horizon, that when you start to empty yourself out of all the things that really are not good for you, whether it be the sinful things, prideful things, your own sense of, I need to control everything. That's the extreme poverty of you empty yourself out completely of those things. Then you can start filling yourself up with God, what God wants to give you. So that's the second volume of taking that extreme poverty of emptying out of yourself. And then the third volume is, well, once you've emptied yourself out of all those things, now you're living in the extreme poverty of the divine life. But it's different because you don't mind living in the extreme poverty because you know and you trust that God will provide everything that you need. And so you don't mind living day to day. You don't have to worry about what tomorrow might or may not bring. You can trust in God. And so you're basically living in extreme poverty that you really don't own anything. You don't have anything. You don't control anything. And you accept it. And you're actually more joyful because you realize now that you don't have to try to do everything on your own. God can lead you. And his plans are a lot better than what our plans are. And they're a lot more exciting than our plans because God's adventure for us that he has planned is a lot more exciting than any adventure that we could plan for ourselves. Yeah. Because he created us perfect to be in the time that we're in the place that we are, to do the things that we're supposed to do. That's our adventure. And most people are just afraid to accept it. They're afraid to do it because they think, oh, I could never possibly do that. Well, you couldn't, not your own. You could never do it on your own. But with God, you can do anything.
And book number three is called The Zealot's Return, right?
Right.
So what are we covering in that book?
So starting at the end of the first or the second volume and the beginning of the third volume is that evil shekel, the secular society, the feds, they end up finding the pathways that the zealots had carved out for the Christians. And they chased them down and they pinned them down at Penury City. And so now that we have to fight, there's a time for Christians where I think it's called the Benedict option. There was a saint long ago that Benedict, he, when all this persecution was happening, he went to a cave and just prayed and tried to sustain himself. But then eventually you have to come out. Same with Noah, like Noah's Ark, right? There's a time to go into the ark to protect yourself and to protect your way of life and your relationship with God. But then the waters recede and the ark comes to land on ground again. And you have to leave the ark. You have to pursue and spread the word and live the Christian life. You need to live in the divine life. And so that's what the third volume is about, is they no longer can hide and be just inside Penury City living just in that one community. It's always about going out and preaching God's word and to fight for what you believe in. And as scripture tells us, the gates of hell will not prevail against us.
Amen.
And if you think about gates don't come after you. Gates are where your perimeter lies and what you're protecting. We're supposed to go after the gates of hell and crush them and push them further and further away and bring more people to Christianity.
Yeah, amen.
So we're supposed to go out on campaign. We're all kings and priests and prophets by our baptisms. And as a king, kings go out on campaign. So we need to go out and campaign and push those gates of hell back and grab more people for God's kingdom.
Amen. Amen. You know, some of the things that you have in your books in this story, they're fantastic, right? Do you actually believe these types of things can happen or will happen?
I do. I definitely believe. So some of the things there's bilocation. There's some people can actually see events happening in prayer. So they're standing in one place in prayer and they can actually see live events happening while they're in prayer. Yeah. Not that they can necessarily change those live events, but that they can see them and they can intercede and pray for certain outcomes. And so these things, they come from scripture. There's been Christians who have done these things. There's miraculous stories throughout Christianity that all of these things are possible. And even though we don't necessarily believe, it's like, oh, well, those are just made up stories. That's folklore from long ago. That doesn't happen anymore. But if you look at scripture and we listen to what Jesus had said, he told the apostles, he said, you will do even greater things than I have done. What did Jesus do? Well, Jesus raised people from the dead. He cured the sick. He fed people out of barely nothing. He did all these miraculous things. And so if we're capable and supposed to do even greater things than Jesus did, why aren't we?
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing those things? And it's because, well, we're afraid and we lack faith. So yes, if we have faith and if it is what God wills, because we always have to align ourselves with what God is trying to do.
Amen.
And once we do that, we can do amazing things.
Amen. You say in book 3, you know, The Zealot's Return, that sometimes, quote, all that is left is to send in crazy.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that means to us?
It was in the heart of the battle when it looked like the Penurians, that's what the people from Penury City are called. They're called the Penurians. It looked like they were losing the battles. It just looked like they just didn't have enough people, enough critical mass of people to really go up against this Goliath. It was a typical David versus Goliath kind of story. And it looked like things were going very bad for them. And it didn't look like they were going to end up really surviving. And so the general of the Penury City armies, he was trying to make decision of what can we do next? God, what reveal to us what really you want us to do? Because we're losing here. We need help. And so one of the soldiers had come up to him and came up with this crazy idea. And he just looked at me and says, that's a suicide mission. I'm not going to send you on a suicide mission. He said, if you're not caught and tortured, you're certainly going to be killed. But the soldiers end up convincing him that, no, this is what we know this will work. We want to do this. We want to, and even if we lose our lives, we're losing our lives for God. We're losing our lives for, you know, helping our brothers and sisters. So they convinced General to let him do it. And it was just a crazy idea. And one of the lines that the other, the leaders of the army had told the general was, you know, general, sometimes, you know, it takes crazy, you know, when the world's gone mad, you have to send in crazy. And so that's the line that got the general to kind of convince himself, okay, you're right. Amen. Sometimes you do have to send in crazy.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you to reveal the outcome of the final battle, but well, okay, I'm not going to lie. Yes, I am. I just won't ask you to tell us the plot line and all that, but tell us, right. Do the good guys win in the end?
Well, you know, when you have God, the good guys always win in the
end. Amen. That's what I want to hear. Is this book series for everyone, or are you just trying to reach a specific demographic?
No, the series is definitely for everyone who wants to, I mean, even if you're not necessarily religious or Christian, if you've never even picked up, you know, the Bible and read the Bible, if that this book will, this series will help you at least to understand about Christianity and what it's about. And because there's so much scripture embedded in it and the message of scripture is embedded in it, it might entice those individuals to maybe pick up the Bible and start reading scripture.
Amen.
Because it's all about the message of, you know, God lives today in the present. God is not just something that was in the Bible, some entity that lived long, long ago, far, far away, right? God lives in the present. He lives in our lives today. And so I hope the series will help people to remember that, to remember to come back to God, to remember to have not just a relationship, but an intimate relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Because God hears us. Amen. And God does talk to us. We just tend not to listen. We might even pray, but we don't even wait for the answers to those prayers. We just kind of send volumes of words up to God and don't even wait for responses. Yep. And a lot of times we just need to keep quiet and listen and take the time.
So I love the story about Elijah, you know, when he fled to the cave, and he's in there just pouring all this out to God, and God just sitting there and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he repeats the whole thing, pours it all again, and Elijah, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be there, you know, type thing. And, you know, so when we're facing all of life's problems, as you said, we just throw all these words up to God, and God's like, what? Let's focus now. What are you doing about it? You know, right. And you know,
and God spoke to Elijah in the whisper, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It was the whisper that.
That's
so
right.
So we can't expect God to come to us in like the column of cloud, the column of fire, or Jesus just standing in front of us. That's not God's style. And if we did see it, we'd probably have a heart attack and die.
Oh, yeah.
So he comes to us very in that whisper, where we need to listen for that whisper. And he nudges us because he's an all-loving God, and he's ever so patient with us. And so he keeps nudging us. No, here, go a little bit this way. Here, go a little bit this way. And it's in those loving nudges that we start to hear God and we start to follow God.
Amen. Amen. Well, Thomas, this has been a fascinating interview, to say the least. And I'm not one that usually reads fictions or novels, but I do, but you know, only if it's something that can truly hold my interest and make me wonder, you know, what if type thing. And your series has done just that. I mean, how can our listeners order your book? I take it they're on Amazon, correct?
All of your online retailers, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you typically buy your online books. You can also get them from my own website. The Pesher, the interpretation, the companion book, that's only available from my website. So I try to entice people to come there if they want the full the gambit of the four books.
Okay. So book four is only the Pesher, that's the author's guide, if you want to call it.
Right.
Right. The author's guide to on your website.
That's right.
Okay.
So there's some bundles.
That's what I was going to say. Do they order one book at a time, or can they order the entire series together?
No, they can do whatever they want. They can order the one book at a time. They can order the bundles, which is, you can order the bundle of the whole trilogy. You can order the bundle of the trilogy plus the companion book. So there's multiple ways for ordering.
Amen. Amen.
And there's both ebook and...
Someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Sure. Same place on my website. There's a lot of different ways. There's the Facebook links, there's email links, there's a contact form. So the website is the central location. It's woundedcrowpublishing.com. And if that's too long or too hard to remember, you can also remember the title of the series, penurycity.com. So it's P-E-N-U-R-Y, city.com. And that'll give you a hyperlink to the Wounded Crow Publishing site. So.
Amen.
Amen. I'll put links to all this in the show notes down below. Folks, there is absolutely no doubt we are living in troubled times. Times the Bible has told us would happen just before all of this that we now know will be wrapped up. And Thomas has taken you know, all the questions we have, all that we see happening around us, and the ultimate answer, of course, and weaves a story that will keep you on the edge of your seat throughout every book. Some of the comments his readers have left on the website can basically be summed up with this one. Quote, to the unbeliever and the skeptic, this book will give you the great insight into what it really means to be a Christian and what is ahead for all of us in this world. To the believer, this book is meant to give us a glimpse as to how to become a stronger person of faith and how to put the strong faith to use for your God. To all of us, it provides not just how we may get rid of our guilt of past sin, but also a purpose for the present and a hope for the future. The enemy can definitely be defeated. Death can be conquered. Love and peace can reign. Unquote. I thought that was just a fabulous review, and I had to include it here. Amen.
Well, thank you.
Amen. So be sure to go down to the show notes. Click the links to order your copies today. One of the comments on the website said this book series is akin to the Lord of the Rings or J.K. Rowling's book series. And I have to admit, this is definitely a buyer recommendation from Pastor Bob. And I will say that very often, that you need to get this book series. Not just one of them, you need to get all of them. And as a matter of fact, at the time of this recording, we are approaching the Christmas season. And this book series is affordable and relevant and entertaining and accurate. And, well, it would just make a great Christmas gift to anyone on your shopping. Amen. Believer or critic alike. So with that, let me encourage you again to go down to the show notes and purchase several of these book sets. I know I said sets, and bless those you love this Christmas. Amen. Thomas, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today and share all about your marvelous book series, Penary City. I do appreciate your time.
Well, and I appreciate yours, Pastor Bob. God bless you.
Amen. Appreciate that. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Thomas Nastic and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.